Good evening, everyone. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, book of Luke chapter number 18. All right. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter number 18, we're going to read the latter portion of the chapter, beginning in verse number 35. Bible says in Luke 18:35, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried, so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this night. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that I get to speak to these folks. Lord, we pray that, God, you would meet with us in the next little while. God, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would give us exactly what each of us needs, Lord. God, you know every need in this room. God, I couldn't begin to know what everyone's going through, Lord. I know some things, bits and pieces here and there, Lord, but you know everything. And God, not only do you know it all, you can do something about it to fix it, Lord. And we pray that, God, you would use your word tonight, and God, use me and get me out of the way, Lord, so that I could, God, that you would be lifted up so that you could speak to these people's hearts and give them, Lord, what they need to keep on going and living for you, Lord. We pray that the message tonight would draw us closer to you, Lord, in our relationship. Lord, I pray you would forgive me of my sins and fill me with your spirit, focus me on the scripture, Lord, and help the folks in here tonight, Lord, to see past me and hear the message from you. And Lord, we want you to speak to each heart and give them something, Lord. God, you know the devil's on our back. You know the world is after us. God, you know different struggles and trials come our way. And it gets hard at times, Lord. But God, we need something from you to keep us going. So we pray that you would do that. Lord, it's not me. I can't manufacture it. I can't make it up, Lord. It has to come from you. So God, that's what we're asking for tonight. We pray you would do that for us. We pray you would speak to each heart. And Lord, encourage them through the word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. In this story here, we have a blind man who is sitting by the wayside, and he's begging to the people that pass by. And he's in want, he's in need, he's begging, he's hurting, he needs something to get him out of the circumstance that he's in. But think about it, he's on this side of the road begging, and he's begging for stuff that could never ultimately take away his problem. He's begging for people's money. He's begging for some charity. He needs something from these people. But think about it. All those things could do is just lessen the load on him. They could never take away his blindness. There was no surgery for it back then. There was no pills. There was no medicine that he could take to ever take away his ultimate problem, which was blindness. So he's crying out to these people, give me some money, some alms, some charity. And of course, I'm sure some of the people would, but yet when he found out Jesus was passing by that day, he turned all of that begging and all of that pleading and all that effort and all that crying that once he had called to the people that are passing by for their money, now he turns all of that passion and all of that effort to the Savior, the only one who could really fix his problem. That's a good thing, something for us to learn. And he directed it to the only one who could fix his ultimate problem. But the astounding thing to me, the incredible thing to me in this story is, not that when he found out Jesus was passing by, he cried out. The astounding thing to me is that when he cried out to Christ, not everybody agreed with it. Not everybody liked it. Not everybody accepted it. And not everybody understood what he was doing. And they opposed him. They told him to shut up. But thank God he didn't let it stop him. He went harder. He went stronger. He got even more determined. He got louder. He cranked it up. Amen. Verse number 39 says, "And they which went before him," or which went before, "rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me." This guy wasn't going to get stopped. He wasn't going to get hindered. He wasn't going to let any obstacle stop him from his ultimate goal to get to Christ. Amen. What an example that is, how he went hard after this. Many times in our lives, we sit around hurting. We may not tell the person the people around us, but inside we're hurting, we're in want, we're in need. And often we beg for the wrong thing to fill that emptiness inside. Listen, I know we all go through different things, but ultimately what we need is we need God in our lives. If you get him right, if he's where he's supposed to be in your life, I'm not saying there won't be problems, but basically everything else in your life will fall into place. Amen. That's right. It's true. Okay? If you get him right, that's what you need. Listen, your problem right now, I know I'm not trying to diminish or negate any of the requests or anything like that. I understand there's health problems, work problems, financial problems. I understand all of that. And those things, I'm not just saying that God gets a magic wand out and takes them away. We're not saying that. I'm just saying you may still have some of those issues in your life, but if you get God right on the inside, that's what you need. I'm trying to help you tonight. That's what you need. That's what I need. We need to get God where he needs to be. We need to cry out to Jesus. Listen, I understand you may need some help on the job or at your home. You may need some help in your health and different areas of your life, but ultimately what you need is God in your life. You need Jesus where he should be in your life. That's what you need. That's what I need. That's what it's all about. And often we cry out for these things. We put so much effort into a new career or more possessions or this or that or this toy or that toy. That won't do anything for you. Only Christ can do something for you. And I'm trying to remind you of that. I know most of you know that, but we need to be reminded of it from time to time. He cried. I'd say we take all that effort, all that energy, all that passion, all that fire, all that drive that we take in every other area of our life and use it as motivation. Take that and direct it towards Christ. Listen, a lot of times dealing with the young people, it's Jeffrey, you know, it's sometimes it just boils down in certain cases to a lack of effort. They just don't care. If you want it bad enough and if you go after it bad enough, you'll get it. Amen. You'll get it. You seek God with all your heart, he says, you'll find me. Amen. I'm glad about that. Listen, he doesn't care what skin color you are. He doesn't care where you come from. He doesn't care if you got nice clothes on tonight. None of that stuff really means anything to him. All it's about is if you have that hunger, that drive. And by the way, let's not separate that from saying also you have the hunger, you have the drive. But there needs to be some things out of your life as well that you separate from. Say, you know what? I want to get right with God. Therefore, I'm going to get away from that music. I'm going to get away from those friends that are pulling me down. I'm going to get away from those things that keep me out of church. Hello? I'm going to get away from those things that are pushing me away from God. I'm going to separate myself from that so that I can have the proper hunger and desire to be right with God. But don't be surprised when you do put that effort and that passion, that drive in the direction that it already should. Don't be surprised when you encounter some opposition. Not everybody's going to like it. Not everybody's going to congratulate you. Not everybody's going to shake your hand, pat you on the back and say, great job, we're so proud of you. Not everybody's going to do that. You're going to encounter some opposition. You're going to encounter some people that are trying to shut you down and shut you up. Sometimes that might be a mom or dad. That might be somebody in your family. Or somebody in your extended family. Sometimes that's a friend or that's somebody that'll try to mock at you and laugh at what you're trying to do, try to shut you up. Maybe that's on your job. Maybe that's at school. Maybe that's, as I said, in your own home. That happens. And let me just, for some of you, burst your bubble real quick. That may happen from someone in this room. I hope not, but it happens. It does happen. And the devil will use whatever he has to do to push you back, to shut you down, to shut you up. And I don't want to let that happen in my life. And I don't want that to happen in your life. Amen. Listen, 2013, it's hard to live for God. Okay? It's hard. It's difficult. The more you try to live for God, it seems like the more pressure you get against you. I remember my dad telling me a number of times. He said, Tom, you need to spend enough time with God in the morning and in your life to where you have more pressure coming out of you than you have coming against you. And over the years, after losing my father, I found that even more to be more valuable in my life, because that's exactly how it is. That's exactly how it is, folks. You go to that job, there's some people there, they don't like God. They're against you. They don't want you sharing the gospel with them. They don't want you to have a testimony around there. But you've been called of God to do that. I'm saying, you need to go hard. Go hard. Just like this blind man, listen, he had people trying to shut him up, but he didn't let it stop him. I'm saying, don't let it stop you. Don't let it slow you. By the way, sometimes we think, well, I haven't quit on God. I mean, I'm still doing the bus route, and I'm still, you know, coming to church every once in a while. Sometimes it'll just take away your aggressiveness. have you slacked off? Listen, I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just trying to help you here. If you haven't quit, that's great. But if you've slacked off, that's a problem too. I'm just trying to help you here. Look at things objectively. Look at your life. Where have you been in your Christian life? Are you less than that now?
Come on.
That's something we need to think about.
Yes, sir.
All right? Don't let that stop you. Don't let that slow you down. I'm saying go hard. Go get stronger. Get louder. Cry out to God even more and say, God, you see the pressures against me. God, you see the hard times that I'm facing. God, you see the trouble that I'm dealing with. God, even more I need your help. Just like him. So much the more, God. So much the more I need your help.
Amen.
Let me preach a few moments tonight about this subject. Go harder. Go harder. Go hard. Listen, we go hard in a lot of areas, but absent from that most of the time is the Christian life. We just try to chill. We just try to cruise through it. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't. Let me tell you something. I've tried it, and we've all tried it. We've all tried to be the casual Christian. We've tried to cruise through things. It doesn't work for very long.
Right.
It doesn't work for very long. And I know it's hard to really take a stand for God and to really be out there. It's difficult, but it's worth it.
Yes, it is.
It's worth it. And I would rather live my life, and I haven't always done it, but I would rather live my life in a way that I'm going hard as a Christian, and people may talk and people may laugh and mock and all of that, but at the end of the day, I wouldn't regret it.
That's right.
But I may blend in and smooth things over and try to act like everyone else. And for the time being, it may seem all well and good, but at the end of the day, you know you'll regret it, and so will I.
Yes, sir.
And I don't want to do that.
Amen.
So let's go hard as Christians. How do we do that? A couple things. In this message, go harder. Number one, the acknowledging of the Savior. I want to show you, first of all, the acknowledging of the Savior. Check out verse number 35. It says, it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho. So this is Jesus coming to this place called Jericho. Obviously, we're all familiar with that city. A certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. The acknowledging of the Savior. I want you to see, first of all, there was some commotion going on. There was some commotion going on. In verse number 36, he heard the multitude pass by. This is a blind man. Obviously, he can't see anything. He's sitting there. All he is listening for people to come by, to walk by, so that he can beg to them and say, give me some money. That's what he's doing. He doesn't just hear one person, though. He hears a big group. He hears a big crowd, big parade coming through. Jesus is coming through town, and he hears a multitude pass by. There was some commotion. There's a big noise, a lot of talk, a lot of stir about this man, Jesus. Listen, it was that way 2,000 years ago, and it's still that way today.
Amen.
There's still a lot of noise. There's still a lot of commotion. There's still a lot of loudness that comes off of the name of Jesus and that whole concept. Still that way today. Now, you got to sift through some of it because some of it's foolishness. Some people are going in speaking in tongues and all this crazy stuff. That's not what we should be doing nowadays, according to the Word of God. But there's still a lot of commotion. Still a lot of talk, a lot of noise. Some 2,000 years later. And you know, you better, in our lives, we better watch our testimonies.
Yes, sir.
Because it's not just how loud we talk or how loud we preach or how loud we sing. You know what? I wonder how loud your life speaks to people.
Exactly.
How strong of a statement does your life make? That's what it's really about. You know what impressed me as a little kid growing up in this church? That I watched people. And I knew some of them, bless their heart. I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus, but I knew some of them. I wouldn't say they're fake, but you could just tell that maybe they weren't wholly given to it. But I could tell on the other end of the spectrum that there were some people that they were for real.
Amen.
And you could see that. You see that it cost them to serve God. You saw that it wasn't always easy, but that they love God. By the way, I want to live a life, and I don't always do it, but I want to live a life that there's joy when I serve God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Listen, sometimes we walk around, and it looks like we've been sucking on lemons for hours. You know, we're done. How you doing? Fine. How was the bus route? Not a lot of kids? No, a lot of kids, you know. And I understand sometimes it gets tiring and it gets hard, I know. But I want to live the majority of my life with that positive. I get to serve God. I get to preach. I get to serve Him. I get to go tell people how they can pass from death unto life. That's awesome.
Amen.
And by the way, You want to be that testimony? People are watching you.
Yes, sir.
Just like I, as a little kid, watched some of the older men and people in the church, people are watching you.
That's right.
If you're a mom or a dad, your kids are watching you.
Amen.
Thank God that in my life I saw a dad that was real. It wasn't always easy on him.
100%.
It was difficult sometimes, but I saw that he loved what he did. And I got to see that in Brother Bob's life, Brother Chuck. Brother Chuck, looking at these, they didn't have to say anything, although they said it, but there was a statement from their life that was just amazing to me. You know what I'm talking about. Somebody that grows up in this church over the last few years, you see that. You see that it's real.
Amen.
Hey, some of you kids need to stop worrying about what's on Facebook and Twitter. And you need to start looking at some of these people in the church and say, are they real? And once you find some ones that you think are real, follow along with them. Follow their example.
Amen.
That's what it needs to be about. I saw that. I saw that. I saw that in my dad and my mom. I saw that in Brother Chuck, Brother Bob. I saw that in Kenny Baldwin. I saw that in different people. And it impressed me. Listen, there's a big commotion. There's a big stir. A lot of people talking about Jesus. I'm saying, why don't you watch a couple of them? There's a commotion. And I like also the next thing. This blind man got curious. Verse number 36, after he heard the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. Hey, guys, what's going on? Parade in town today? What happened? What's going on? What's the big deal? What's it all about? Would be to God, as I've already mentioned in our lives, would be to God, people come into this church and they sit on these pews and they see the joy coming out of us and they see that we love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength and that we're real on the inside. And they would look at our lives and say, where do you get that from?
Uh-huh.
What's the deal? What is it all about? And then that'll give us the perfect opportunity to say, here's what it's all about. Let me share it with you.
Amen.
It made people curious. This blind man was curious, saying, what's going on? And they told him, verse number 37, Christ is here. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. This wasn't just a normal man on the street. This wasn't just some guy taking a walk. This was God manifested in the flesh. This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior.
Amen.
It's Jesus coming by.
God.
Christ is here, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the everything that you need and that I need.
Amen,
he's coming by today. And I like this blind man. Listen, nobody had to tap him on the shoulder and say, Jesus is pretty important. You better really yell. No, nobody had to tell him. It wasn't practiced. It wasn't a TBN. Let's take three takes while you getting up healed. Okay? It wasn't nothing like that. He cried out spontaneously in verse number 38. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. God, I need your help. Hey, folks. Hey. It's not because I'm preaching, but Jesus is passing by tonight. He's giving you a chance. You got some problems in your life? Listen, instead of quitting church, why don't you get close to God? Instead of trying to find a new career that pays more and live at a different place where you have less problems in your life, why don't you just come to Christ and say, Jesus has given me another chance. I'm not going to let this one pass by.
Amen.
Listen, a lot of times we let chances pass by like we have unlimited. We don't. I don't know how long I'll live or you'll live. If there's something not right in our life, let's get it right. Listen. If you hadn't led somebody to the Lord in a while, let's do it.
Amen.
Sweet. If you haven't had a burden for somebody recently, let's do it. Let's not just go through the motions of Christianity. Let's try to give God our all.
Amen.
He made this concerted effort. He was begging the right person now. It was his choice to speak up to the Lord. By the way, Jesus is worthy of that.
Yes, he is.
He's worthy of that.
Amen.
Listen. In case you've forgotten, Jesus is worthy of you getting on the bus every week. Jesus is worthy of you teaching or preaching in your class every week. He's worthy of you dealing with those hard to deal with people. Okay? He's worthy of you giving out tracts, even when you get the weird looks and the people snickering in the background at you. He's worthy of that. He's worthy of you being faithful to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. He's worthy of you reading the Word of God every single day and soaking it in and asking God to direct your steps. He's worthy of you going to Him with problems and relying on Him in every area of your life. He's worthy of that. Don't forget that. I forget that from time to time. Okay? The world will tell you everything else is worthy except Him. No. All those things aren't worthy, and He is.
Amen.
The acknowledging of the Savior. Number two, the attempt to silence Him. The attempt to silence Him. Verse number 39, and they which went before. Do you catch that? They went before Jesus. They're in the Jesus group. Okay? They're in the Jesus crowd. And as those that are
walking in front of the Jesus crowd, they feel it's their right to shut up any blind man that speak out to Jesus, because obviously Jesus doesn't have time for that. I've seen some people in church like that too. Let that sit. May revisit it in a moment. But I've seen some people like that in church from time to time.
Excuse me, you can't do that in church. You can't get all emotional. You can't really care. None of the rest of us do that. You're making us look bad, okay?
The attempt to silence him. The people that went before, they're in the Jesus group. They're in the parade. They're juggling, okay? They're doing something, but they're in this crowd, and they hear this blind man crying out to Jesus. They said, no, that doesn't look good. We can't allow that. Let's shut this guy up. What do they tell him, verse number 39? They which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. What does it mean to hold your peace? It means shut up.
Yep, exactly.
Speak now or forever hold your peace. Yeah.
If you never knew what that was talking about in marriages, it's basically saying speak now or shut up. All right? You learn something in church. You're welcome. All right. Speak now, forever, hold your peace. Listen, they spoke to him saying, hold your peace. Shut up, blind man. We don't have time for this. Jesus is a busy man. Got to preach, got to heal people. Not you, of course, but other people where the crowd's around, you know, where it looks good. He's got to do miracles. He don't have time for you. The attempt to silence him. There was pressure on him to shut him up. You ever felt that? Your intentions are right. You're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to live for God. But everybody's giving you them looks.
There they go, praising God again. Giving another testimony. Singing another solo. Talking about how good God has been for them.
Don't hate if God's been good to somebody else. Amen. Rejoice with them.
Amen.
Okay?
Why did Tut and Tamara get the extreme makeover?
Have you not seen my house, God? You know? You ever been there? Come on now. Oh, no, we're all holy in this church, right? The pressure to shut him up. You felt it. You felt it. And they're not secretive about this to the blind man. They rebuke him, tell him to hold his peace. Shut up, blind man. They're trying to stamp him out. They're trying to shut him down. They're trying to shut him up. Listen, the world's trying to shut you up. The devil's trying to shut you up. The flesh inside of you is trying to shut you up. Don't be all emotional with it. The society is trying to shut you up. Listen, if you have friends in your life, some of them may be trying to shut you up if they're not the right kind. People in your family. By the way, if you listen to a type of music, young person, that's not right, you know what that's doing? Squelching your fire for the Lord.
Amen.
Trying to shut you up.
That's right.
It's not going to encourage you to do anything
right.
Listen, what you listen to affects you. I say, think of the color red, and you think red, right? So how can you listen to music that talks about sex, drugs, and rebellion and not think about sex, drugs, and rebellion?
Come on.
That's why you need some music in your life that glorifies God, that lifts him up. And by the way, I was talking to some people about this a few nights ago. Listen, it should lift Christ up with the words, with the beat. Did you just say that? Yeah, I did. Okay. With the beat. And also, how about the example of the people that sing it?
Amen.
Listen, I wouldn't want somebody getting up to preach to me if they didn't live the Christian life.
That's right.
Why should I allow somebody to sing to me where they're influencing me spiritually if they're not living for God?
Right.
If they're all into the money, you shouldn't listen to them.
Amen.
If they just care about you buying the CDs, but they don't care about walking with God every day, you shouldn't listen to them.
Amen.
They shouldn't be on your iPod. The attempt to silence him, the pressure to shut him up. But the most astounding thing to me in this story is we all feel that pressure. We get that. We get that in many different areas. And I'm not going to elaborate on all of them, but we know what it's talking about there, the pressure to shut him up. But I like this blind man because, you know, the natural tendency when people are trying to shut you up is to give in, to cave in.
Right.
He takes it and spins it on its head. I like that. I like this blind man, Bartimaeus. I like what he's doing here. They said you should hold your peace, but he cried so much the more, Jesus, have mercy on me.
Amen.
He used that as motivation to crank it up. I like that. Man, listen. The point of this whole message tonight is this. When the world comes after you and when people come after you and when the devil sends his people after you to get you to fall, and the world is all around you and you feel like it's too tough, I'm saying you need to take all that frustration, you need to take all that stuff that's coming your way, and don't shoot it back at them. I'll explain that in a moment. Don't shoot it back at them. You know the direction you need to point it in? Him. Amen. Say, God, you see what I'm going through. You see what I'm dealing with. God, I need your help. Look at this. Verse number 39. When they told him to hold his peace, he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on. He's not talking to the crowd. He's not talking to the people. When they told him to shut up, he's like, no, you shut up. No, he's not doing that. He didn't even address them. He ignored what they're saying. He got louder and he said, Jesus, forget all about them. I need your help. Amen. Folks, that's what we need to do. Amen. We hear so many of these other voices that we never get to the voice of God. That's how it is. We hear so many of these other voices that are discouraging and that are depressing and that pull us down that we never push through that to hear the voice of God in our lives. I think in Matthew 26, I believe it is, when Mary anointed the feet of Jesus. And what happened when she did that? The disciples were complaining, criticizing her, saying, what is this waste, right? Should have been sold and given to the poor. That's verse number 9, I believe, in that chapter. The next verse, Hans was going to check up on me. That's fine. All right. You're wrong, Brother Tom. Okay. I think that's verse number 9 in Matthew 26. The next verse, maybe 10, Hansel, I don't know. All right. The next verse, Jesus says, leave her alone.
Amen.
He says, she had done a good work on me. Amen. You know, not too long ago reading my Bible, I said, some of us get caught on verse 9 so much, we never get to verse 10. We hear so many voices around us saying it's not worth it. It's not worth it to drive your van. It's not worth it to run your bus. It's not worth it with those kids. It's not worth it. Yada, 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 yada. It's all around us. Yeah. And we hear that so much that some of us never listen long enough to get to the next verse when Jesus says, hey, she's doing a good thing.
Amen.
And you're doing a good thing if you're trying to live for God. Yeah. Don't give up on that. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Keep that stamped in your mind. We all need it. Because sometimes it does feel like it's vain, but it's not. Jesus said it's not. Listen, I don't care what the other person in the church thinks about your service or the people out in the world say about you serving God. Jesus said it's not in vain. Amen. I'd rather take his word for it. Amen. The pressure to shut him up pushed him to crank it up. He's saying, Jesus, I need you even more. So much the more. I need him in my life is what he's saying. I need you even more. I need you even so much worse in my life. God, I need this. I need this. Listen, the point of this is this. The harder they pushed at him, the harder he pushed to get to him. That's what it's all about. And I know some people are going through some hard things in this room right now. I know it's frustrating. I know it hurts. I know the trouble you're going through. It's difficult. I understand that. But don't lash out at the people around you. Go talk to God. Take that frustration that's built up and point it this direction. Not yelling at God, but saying, God, I need your help. I need your mercy in my life. God, please come through for me. Amen. Folks, he will.
Amen.
But keep pushing. Have the determination of this blind man. You know what? I believe if he shut up when the people told him to, then Jesus would have just kept on going.
I think you're right.
But he didn't.
Amen.
He had some determination. Listen, maybe some of you, and again, I don't know of any of these scenarios or whatnot, but maybe some of you in this room, you've tried to live for God in certain areas, but you've gotten kicked down here and there. And people have said some things to you that they shouldn't have. I don't know. That may have happened. But you know what? Don't let some bozo stop you from serving God and getting to the help that you need. Hello?
Amen.
Amen. That happens. Listen, people say things. I say dumb stuff from time to time, all right? It happens. But I'm just saying, don't let what someone says detract you from getting to Jesus.
Amen.
The attempt to silence him. He persevered in spite of those that were stuck up. He was desperate. He had some passion, some pleading. He was pursuing the Lord, seeking the Lord. This has really been on. I really struggled with what to preach tonight. I really did the last few days. But I tell you, when's the last time you really sought God in your life? It's very easy for us to just kind of go through the motions, to do the routine, to get into the rituals, to go through the robotics, but yet we never really put our heart and soul into serving God sometimes. It happens. There's ebb and flow on that, and I understand that. But I'm just saying, when's the last time you really put your heart into it? When's the last time you begged God for something? How about this? I may have mentioned it earlier, but when's the last time you really had a burden for someone specific to get saved?
When's the last time? I'll confess to you, it's the weeks before, I hadn't for a few weeks, and that bothered me. And I was begging God last Saturday, God, let me witness to somebody. It's been a while, God, and I don't like this. Give me somebody. And God did give me somebody, and the kid got saved, and I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
But how about you? How long has it been? How long has it been? Listen, if you have a burden for somebody, I'm pretty sure that's an impetus for you to show up on Thursday night.
Amen.
If you care about somebody, you have somebody specific on your mind that's just turning your heart inside out, you would be here. You'd be here. And I'm not saying it's always easy or every time you come Thursday night, you have 10 people saved. It don't work like that. But you should be here. And as we talked about earlier, even if no one gets saved, he's still worthy of your effort.
Yes, he is.
The attempt to silence him. Hey, folks, don't let the obstacles around you, don't let them stop you from getting to him. That's what you need. That's what I need. Last thing, number three, the attention that was shifted. The attention that was shifted. Check out verse number 40. After this blind man is crying out to the Lord, they tell him to shut up, be quiet. He cries out so much the more. He goes harder. He gives it more effort, more passion. Verse number 40. This is a great verse. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, and the story goes on. But you know what happened there? Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped what he was doing. He stopped. He halted his agenda, and he stopped for one reason, because of that blind man that needed some help over there. And folks, don't let God is busy. God does a lot of things. He's keeping the world in place and everything else, keeping us living, keeping us healthy. But don't get in your thought pattern that God is so busy that he doesn't have time for me and time for you. Isn't that a great thing?
Amen.
That even though he's the all-powerful God, that he came to die for the sins of mankind and he's on a mission, that he can stop for you and you and you. Praise God for that. But he's not going to stop unless you cry out for him.
Amen.
And I'm just warning you now, when you cry out for him, some people are going to tell you, shut up.
Yeah.
Nobody does that anymore. Nobody cares about God. We do what's right in our own eyes. You can say, you can do whatever you want, but as for me, I got to get louder talking to Jesus because I need his help. The attention that was shifted, Jesus stopped. His attention was diverted. He stopped. He got Jesus' attention. Listen, Psalm 51:17 says, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise.
Amen.
Listen, you come to God with a humble spirit, a broken spirit, and when you mean business with God, God won't turn you away.
That's right.
He won't turn you away. That's the message that we get to tell people, folks.
Amen.
He says in Jeremiah 29:13, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When was the last time you sought for the Lord and really went after him? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may, listen to these words, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help when in time of need.
Amen. Yes,
sir. Psalm 46:1, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You going through some trouble? It says right there. Seek after him. Seek after him. Listen, Jesus stopped and gave his attention to this blind man. I'm saying in 2013, he does the same thing. He'll stop for you and give you some time, and he'll give you the help that you need if you'll cry out for it. The blind man was direct. Verse number 41, after Jesus asked him, what do you want? Or in verse number 41, he's asked him, what do you want? And the blind man answers back, that I may receive my sight. He was direct. Listen, sometimes we get so formal with God. God, thou art the creator. God, thou art the... Just go to God and say, God, this is what I need.
Yes, sir.
Be real with God.
Amen.
Sometimes we get these formalistic prayers. We don't even know what we're saying, you know?
God, thou art the Elohim, the El Shaddai, the Adonai. What does that mean? I don't know. You know? The these and thous. I love when people do that. It's all good. If you pray like that, good. But some people put these and thous.
You're like, hey, man, how you doing? I'm doing good. How are you?
And then they pray, Lord, thou. I'm like, man, God only speaks King James? I don't know. Whatever. It's all good. It's fine.
I'm just saying. He knows what you means as well, all right? He was direct. He said, Lord, I need your help. I'm blind. I need to receive my sight.
Amen.
What's your problem tonight? Don't come down to the altar and try to get this flowery prayer. Just come to God saying, God, I need your help in this area.
Amen.
And he'll give you the help that you need. Verse number 42, Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. This man was delivered from his problem. He was healed. In case you didn't know what all those words mean, he was healed.
Amen.
He said, I was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
In verse number 43, as we wind this down, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. He was devoted. Listen, after he got his healing, he didn't say, oh, Lord, thank you, I can see now. All right, peace out. Appreciate that. What happened? It says he followed him. He followed Jesus. He said, you know what, Lord, you've done so much in my life. How dare I turn my back on you? And it would be good for some of us, I'm not going to elaborate on this, but it would be good for some of us to think back at where we were and what we were when Jesus found us. And that should be the motivation for you to keep serving God.
Amen.
Some of you, Jesus has flipped your life around, turned you around in an amazing way.
Yeah.
And you've forgotten. And you think you did that to yourself. No, you didn't. He did it for you.
Amen.
And that should keep us close to him. Listen, it's not a guilt trip. It's not.
You say, yes, it is.
No, it's not. It's realizing what God has done for us and being grateful for it. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, look at all that God has done for you, that he's withheld these certain things from your life when you deserved every one of them, that you should present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that's your reasonable service. He's saying, listen, after all God's done for you, that's the least you can do. And that's the least I can do. Be faithful. If you haven't been putting your heart and soul into the service of God, let's do it. Stop wasting time. Listen, if Jesus came back tonight and we have all been slacking on him, we would be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed. 1 John says we need to abide in him so that when he comes, we don't have to be ashamed.
Amen.
I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to say, Lord, I should have done more. I shouldn't have just gone through the motions. God, I should have given my heart and soul to it. I want to do that now.
Good.
He was devoted. He followed Jesus after he got healed. He didn't roll on him. He didn't ditch him. And he glorified God. He's telling all the people, look at what he did. Look at what he did. And all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise unto God.
Yes, sir.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you, no, your Father, which is in heaven. That's what we need to be about, folks.
Amen.
Listen. Go hard. Go hard. You say, my life is hard. I know. Go harder. Go harder. People trying to shut me down, trying to shut my Christianity down. So much the more, cry out to him. God, I need your help. We're all going through stuff. It's all difficult. But take all that frustration and use your efforts to cry out to God, because he's the only one that can fix it anyway. You can complain about it till you're blue in the face, which some of us do from time to time, all right? But it's not going to fix anything. It's just going to make you madder. I've been there. Some new person comes up, and you're just going to lay it on them, you know? Man, you know what's been going on to me? This person said yada, yada, yada at me. It's not going to change anything. Talk to God about it. Get the help you need. Listen, folks, it's going to be hard. We were never promised that when we live for God, everything's going to be, you know, sunshine and roses. It's all wonderful. No. If somebody told you that, they were a liar. Okay? That doesn't happen.
No.
That doesn't happen. All they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We know that's going to be the case. It's going to get tough. But you know what? It's worth it. Don't forget that. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We don't know when the finish line is. It may be very soon. I don't know. But I tell you something, I don't want to quit. It turns out the finish line was just around the corner.
That's right.
Let's stay at it. Let's give God our all, and let's go harder. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you for the opportunity again to preach your word. I thank you for the folks being here tonight. God, I pray that you would seal this to our hearts. Help us to remember it, Lord. God, help us to work on the areas that we're weak in, Lord. God, I know we all have things that we're dealing with. We pray that, God, you would help us to go harder at you, and God, to go so much the more, to cry out to you, because we need your help. We pray that you would help us. God, there's pressure all around to quit, to give up, to slack up. Help us not to buy into it, Lord. Help that to motivate us not to quit, but the total opposite of that, to go harder at you and say, Lord, I need your help even more. Help me to preach more and soul win more and sing more, and God, do everything I can even more. Because of all the pressure that comes against me, Lord, help me to use that as motivation to serve you even more. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's stand to our feet just for a moment. We'll have a quick invitation. If God spoke to your heart about any area, why don't you come and do business with him? Talk to him about it. Get the help that you need. He's the only one that can help you.